Savannah native Scott Aukerman is the creator and host of the TV series Comedy Bang Bang on IFC. The show is a podcast that started as a radio show. It blends conversation with music and comedy sketches and celebrity impersonations.
As my close friends know, I've been going through a lot in my personal life lately, but I'm not going to let that stop me from going out on the road and finding some good eats. Take a look. I'm headed across the country on a search for America's best burger. And my wife's murderer.
Comedy Bang Bang comes off the air onto the stage in Atlanta tonight, and Scott Aukerman joins us now to talk about it. Welcome.
Hi, Celeste.
I'm kind of sad in one way that it's a TV show instead of just audio, because I felt like I had this kinship with you. And I'll explain, because you know how people sometimes say, oh, you've got such a great voice for radio. And what they really might be saying is, thank goodness you're not on TV. Does that ever?
Yes, I hear that all the time, literally.
Is that how you interpret it or just me?
That's how I interpret it, yes. Literally, because they follow it up by saying, because you're ugly.
No, they don't.
The strangest, most rude people come up to me.
So why did you end up changing the name from the original Comedy Death Ray radio title?
You know, the original title Comedy Death Ray had to do with the live stage show that I was producing at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles. And I originally thought the podcast was going to be closely tied to that, where I was just going to be interviewing comedians that I had on the stage show that week. And pretty early on in its inception, the podcast became this stranger beast than what I imagined it to be, where I very quickly found myself interviewing fake guests and comedians playing fake people, which kind of had nothing to do with the stage show I was doing. So we knew we had to title it something else to differentiate itself from it.
So I want to play a clip from the TV series. This is you and comedian Patton Oswalt nerding out over the seventh Star Wars movie.
I read for a part in episode 7.
No way, I read for a part in episode 7.
The script is really good.
It's good. It's legitimately really good.
I was amazed that the title, Star Wars Episode 7, Boss Nass is back.
Watto's grandson. Such a cool character.
Great character. And I love how in the opening crawl, they have the line, the taxation of trade routes to outlying star systems is once again in dispute.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see how that comes out.
So, is there a danger when you're doing deadpan comedy on air that people won't know when you're joking?
I think it's really interesting because the podcast version, I have heard pretty consistently that the first few times people have listened to it, they think it's a real show. They think that the people I'm talking to are actual celebrities, or I've gotten a lot of, boy, you have a lot of interesting guests on that show, because, you know, it's all comedians playing fake people who you find out eventually are insane. We're doing it pretty deadpan. We don't let people in on the fact that they are comedians playing fake people. So it kind of takes a while for people to warm up to the aesthetic and to figure out, oh, wow, this is all improvisational comedy.
How do you know who will be a good guest on the show? How do you know what are the traits that are needed to, because yours is a very kind of specific type of comedy.
It's interesting because I get a lot of people sent to me through publicists saying, hey, this person, could they be on your show? And I always try to make sure that the publicists convey that the celebrities are going to have to sit there while we goof around and while comedians are going to be improvising. Sometimes that doesn't always get passed on to the person, unfortunately. So they are in for a surprise when they sit down and they realize they have to share the interview with a comedian playing a lunatic, essentially. So, you know, but I think it's just trial and error. I mean, if people are ready to have fun, the good part about it is if you're on the show, it's not a traditional show. So you're not going to have to go to the well of pre-prepared answers that you have for every question in every interview that you get interviewed in. it's a very unique show that you'll never have another experience like it.
So one of the things that's come out of your show is the really popular web series Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. You've directed a number of those episodes. So let's hear an excerpt from one of them. This is the one that featured President Obama.
Is it going to be hard in 2 years when you're no longer president and people will stop letting you win at basketball?
How does it feel having a 3-inch vertical?
It's a 3-inch horizontal. So, where are you planning on building a presidential library, in Hawaii or your home country of Kenya? Because, I mean, both places seem like they would be...
Zach, that's a ridiculous question.
Well, you know, I mean, not to bring up the birth certificate thing, but you really never did really produce your real...
Where's your birth certificate? Why don't you show it to us right now?
I don't want to show anybody my birth certificate because it's embarrassing.
What's embarrassing about it?
My weight on it, it says that I was born 7 pounds, 800 ounces.
I wonder how... Even in the original version, how do you pitch this segment? Will you do this segment where the interviewer is just going to insult you for 5 minutes? How do you pitch it?
You know, the first time that we did it with Michael Cera. And I knew I wanted to do something with Michael, and he wanted to do something with Zach, and I knew I wanted to do something with Zach. So we just sort of improvised it in a basement one day, and we just... kind of goofed around and tried a whole bunch of different things, and Zach hit upon this sort of mean interviewer style, which he's not really like at all. He's such a sweetheart.
Have I told you that I enjoyed the movie Superbad?
No.
Good.
But a lot of fun. It's a fun movie to watch, fun movie to go take a friend to.
What do you think about the inappropriate humor for, let's say, a 12-year-old, somebody your age, that maybe they aren't ready for that kind of vag talk?
I think it's, you know, any kind of, for a young person, any kind of...
Yeah, I think it's definitely any young person.
That's how we pitched it the first time, and people just really liked it. I think celebrities enjoy doing an interview where it's not the type of interview that they normally do. You know, because at this point, we don't really have to pitch that show all that much. Celebrities are coming to us. The last one that we did, Brad Pitt, he really had been wanting to do one for several years and had been emailing Zach about it. And we asked him questions that I never thought that he would sit there and stand for, and he loved it. So I think celebrities genuinely enjoy doing it.
So as I understand it, you say that well, let me put it this way. You used to host a public access TV show for your high school, right? Called Centurion
Yes.
Highlights?
Yes.
So last year you did an interview where you said you're still doing that same show just with celebrities and not in your high school cafeteria.
Yeah, I mean, the show when I was in high school, I was very influenced by David Letterman. The early late night years back in the 80s. And I really wanted to do a show like that. And so that's sort of what the public access show was me attempting as a young high schooler to imitate David Letterman and to do comedy pieces. I recently showed some of those pieces at a show in Los Angeles where people were supposed to show their early embarrassing work. And the host said to me, "You were supposed to bring something embarrassing, not something you would still be doing now," which, you know, my comedy hasn't really changed all that much since those days.
So it's still totally deadpan.
Yeah, it's very deadpan. It's very ironic. You know, I think I'm from the generation of comedians who are influenced by David Letterman, who taught us how to do deadpan irony.
Well, I mean, you and I are almost the same age. You were 6 months apart. We both grew up in Orange County.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from Mission Viejo.
Oh, my goodness.
Hometown.
I would never step foot in Mission Viejo.
Why?
It's a little too south for me.
Have you done too many awful things? They know your name in Mission Viejo?
Yeah, several warrants for my arrest out there.
But the reason I mention that is because I wanted to bring up the whole deadpan thing again. Because a couple years ago in 2014... you did a parody of the Red Hot Chili Peppers on your show, and you created a song, which I'm probably going to pronounce wrong, Abracadabra-lifornia?
I believe that's what it's called. the comedian John Daly created that, and he came on my show to debut it. It was a Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was supposedly a new Red Hot Chili Peppers song that they were going to debut at that year's Super Bowl that he had exclusive access to.
Burning down the phone.
people thought it really was the new Red Hot Chili Peppers song, which is really due to John's specificity with the parody. We don't get tricked by the Alabama skimmer.
People really bought into it, and it and appeared on that really official-looking website claiming that it was the new Chili Pepper song. And then the drummer, Chad Smith, actually tweeted it out, leading more people.
He thought it was funny, yes.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous enough to be a Red Hot Chili Pepper song.
To you, is that success when people take things that you do seriously?
I mean, to me, that's one type of success. I think I'm not really a prankster in my comedy that much. I view success a little more as people enjoying what I'm doing, and you know, the kind of success I like is when someone comes up to me and says that the show gets them through their day or gets them through their commute. I hear that a lot. Or they're having a difficult time in their personal life and they put it on because they need to laugh. That's the kind of success that I like a little more.
So how does it change for you when you are the guest on somebody else's show? And I want to play a clip of a moment when you were a guest on Joan Rivers' web series that was called Bed with Joan, the late Joan Rivers. And here's a little bit of her questioning you.
What was your first show that you said to yourself, wow, I've made it?
Never.
Because this is mine.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
No, I keep a bag packed at all times.
A go bag?
A go bag.
Like Mike in Breaking Bad? Just on the way to the airport?
You don't know. When it's over, get out of town. Mm-hmm. Well, you've been fired a lot. I love you.
Thank you. I've been fired a lot.
I've been fired for everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you it sounds like you almost couldn't restrain yourself from also still asking her questions, but what is the difference between you being a guest and you being the host?
It kind of depends on how serious the interview has to be. Generally, if I'm in a mood where I don't take any of the questions seriously, the interviewer will never get a single answer that makes sense. But normally, I think I'm a little more serious in my personal life than I am on stage or actually interviewing someone. I do basically comedy interviews a lot of the time. I do interviews where I don't really care about the answers, and I'm just kind of interviewing in order to lead to us doing a bit or for the listener to laugh at my question and to laugh at how stupid the question is and how, oh, wow, that person never gets asked that kind of question. So that's sort of my style when I'm interviewing. When I'm being interviewed, I'm generally just more of myself, which is a reflective, serious fellow.
All right. So then how do you translate all of these things? If it's been basically the same show since you were in high school and you've done all these different permutations, how does Comedy Bang Bang now transform into a stage show?
Well, we're taking it out on the road. And the thing that I get asked a lot when we're doing the podcast is there any way for me to come watch you? A lot of people want to come to the studio. They want to come watch it. We videotaped a few of them and put them online on YouTube for a while. And I am constantly asked, can you keep doing that? Because I want to watch you do the show. People are really interested in the process and in watching us have fun doing it. So when we take it out on the road, I think that's what people are really interested in is they want to see the connection between us actually doing it. And they want to see us coming up with everything live there on stage. And they want to feel involved somehow. I mean, the audience is very involved in shaping it. We listen to the laughs and what is kind of hitting with the audience, and we'll pursue those avenues right there in front of them. If something is really striking for them, that's what we'll sort of dig into and try to really mine. So, you know, I think people are really interested in seeing the process of how we improvise these shows on stage. And this is the third tour I've done, and it's always a real high wire for me because it's odd to go out and tour and do a show where I don't know what's going to happen every night, but that's exactly what it's like. And I'm left up there on stage hoping it goes well and really searching for an avenue to pursue to make it go as well as it can for the people.
But that would mean also that the stage show is demonstrably different than your podcast that you do without an audience?
It's a lot more relaxed on the podcast. We're just kind of doing it for ourselves, and we're doing it to make ourselves laugh. There is a certain amount of responsibility that I feel. People have traveled outside of their homes and, you know, paid $30 or $35 to come see us. And I really want to make sure they have a good experience. So we take it very seriously. But at the same time, you have to have fun with it. So it's a little bit different in the sense of, I guess the biggest difference is we're pausing for laughs.
Well, Scott Aukerman is the creator and host of Comedy Bang Bang. You can see it on Netflix and on the Independent Film Channel. But now he is touring the country in a stage version of the show. And his latest stop is at the Tabernacle in Atlanta. The show starts tonight at 8. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.